Welcome to Miami Valley Speaks, a community program that gives you the opportunity to voice your interests, concerns, and problems. Whether it's the economy, unemployment, racial issues, crime and violence, or teenage pregnancy. Your host for Miami Valley Speaks, Trent Darby.
Hello and welcome. Hopefully you're having a great week. And we got a great show lined up for you today because the much anticipated grand opening celebration of the Funk Center is going to be Friday, February to 16th. And we're going to talk about that, among other things, about the Funk Center and how it all got started with President and CEO David Webb. And David, welcome back to Miami Valley Speaks.
Thank you, Trent. It's a pleasure being here.
Yes, man. I know you're truly excited. We're going to talk more about the event a little bit later on in the show. Mm-hmm. But let's do a bit of a recap, because I remember the first time I had you on the show, mm-hmm. there was a gentleman that kind of stepped up initially with the dream of coming up with the Funk Center here in Dayton and didn't really, you know, finish the job, if you will, you know, get something started and finish. But you stepped in and you really took it to the next level. Talk about that maturation process when you stepped in and say, hey, I want to do this thing.
Well, you know, everybody had an idea, okay? And when we came up with the concept, we wanted to make sure we get it done right, the right way. So what I did was I went outside of the city of Dayton and got a couple of people together who had believed in the dream, believed in the mission and the vision of the Funk Center. So I told them what I was doing, how I wanted to do it. And so they all came aboard with it. So from there, I brought the team back to Dayton, and we start using our planning stages, getting people together and having meetings, getting things together. So when we implemented stuff, we moved forward on this project, and it just took off from there. You know, and I'm hats off with people back in the day who started doing their own stuff like that. You know, and I wished them well on things, and I asked them to be a part of things too, and they declined, because, you know, I don't want to mess up no one's dream and no one's vision what they had, because I wanted to make sure everyone was being represented in the Funk Center. So from there, we moved on. Things happened for us, and, you know, the rest is history.
You know, you think about it, because every time you've come on the show, you have always passed out accolades to all the hardworking people that mm-hmm. have joined you
yes.
in this quest to make the Funk Center come into fruition, which mm-hmm. it is at this particular time. But talk about some of the groups and artists, not so much locally, mm-hmm. but nationally, that's kind to, you know, joined in and teamed up with you to say, hey, you know what, David, I think this thing going to really work.
One of the biggest persons who came to like 4 months ago was George Clinton, the Parliament Funkadelics, Mudbone Cooper.
Yes.
They came and they're on our board and they came in and supported us. And I mean, jumped right in there. They was very surprised what was happening in the Funk Center. And at that time, we didn't have no memorabilia and artifacts in there. But what we did have is like cases and different things and stuff wasn't finished. But George Clinton, and his voice goes, man, This is real funky, Dad. This is real funky. I really like this. This is real good, man. I like this. This is going to be. But if you go to our YouTube channel, The Funk Center, all together, The Funk Center, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, you get a chance to see George Clinton there at the Funk Center talking and giving us accolades about what we were doing.
That's just amazing. I'm fascinated. Of course, we all grew up on the Parliament Funkadelic
yes,
sound.
Yes, yes.
But, you know, it seems to me that groups on the outside, although mm-hmm. we were focusing on the local groups, mm-hmm. really embraced you with this situation. For example, Chris Jasper, who had the opportunity
right.
to talk to on Miami Valley Speaks several months ago.
Yes.
So talk about that.
Oh, Chris Jasper is an outstanding man. And, I mean, a lot of people didn't know he wrote just about all the Isley Brothers hits, not the ones in the 50s, because they were with Motown and different things. But he played all the instruments on some of those records, and he did a lot behind the scenes. So when I contacted Chris Jasper is excited. So he said he sent me one of his outfits that is on display at the Funk Center. And I mean, it's really, really nice. And Chris is a very supportive of the Funk Center. He said when he gets down back to Ohio, because he visits his family in Cincinnati, he's going to stop by the Funk Center.
That's wow, looking forward to that. Now, for those listening and said, hey, the Funk Center, okay, it's finally up and running.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of paint a picture for our listeners, for those who will take that tour through the Funk Center of what they're gonna be able to view once they attend.
The wow factor. Well, you know, again, when you come in, you know, you have murals from the left and right of the Funk Center done by a great artist, her and her daughter, Delora Buchanan and Jacoby Buchanan Buford. The ladies, they jumped in there night and day getting things together, and they did a lot of artwork and around the city, and they gave me the wow factor, what I needed, and I was real happy about that. And so when you go in, you get your chance to see cases and different views from Ohio Players, Sun, Heatwave, Slave, different groups, Platypus, different groups around the area, and then national groups that that from the, you know, from War and the Isley Brothers, the Parliament Funkadelic, different things. I mean, it's just tremendous. You have to see it. But one of the things we always tell people: no photographs in the Funk Center, no videos in the Funk Center. You know, because we want people to understand what the feel. We don't need pictures. You know, if you want pictures, check out our Facebook page. But we want people to come in, enjoy themselves, and get the wow factor.
David Webb, President, CEO of the Funk Center, my guest today on Miami Valley Speaks. You know, we go back 40 years or so, mm-hmm. and and you know, and you say, wow, this is great. And mm-hmm. We already had the Ohio Players.
Right.
You know, because we grew up, we were youngsters, yeah. had the opportunity to listen to some of those great tunes, Love Roller Coaster, Fire, mm-hmm. Skin Tight, mm-hmm. Jive Turkey. I mean, I can go on and on and on about those groups. And then you just got like just a fiery... you know, where several groups just come out of nowhere mm-hmm. that were from Dayton, Ohio, and really put Dayton, Ohio on the map. Not so much Ohio Players kind of set the tone, if you
yes,
will.
They did.
And there's some other people who were from Dayton. Dennis Edwards, for example, was mm-hmm. born in Dayton, Ohio. Mm-hmm. But talk about that year. Actually, it was 1976 through 1979,
right.
where we had groups like Slave, Heatwave,
yeah. yeah.
Sun came out in 76,
mm-hmm.
and Phazo, and all those groups. Mm-hmm. Talk about that time, that period of time for you, as we were listening to the Dayton funk sound,
I was in the eighth grade at E.J. Brown School before there was busing. Then I graduated from E.J. Brown, went to Colonel White High School, and I remember my first groove was Ain't No Half Steppin' by Heatwave in 1977. I was at Colonel White High School coming down the hall, and this guy was singing, and I was like, wow, that's pretty good. Then the next time, a group I call Slide came out, and I was like, wow, and everybody... Garage Band wanted to play the bass Slide, that song,
that's
Slide.
Right. That's right.
Everybody wanted to play that. Then later, Breaking in the Funk and I'm Riding High came out, and Satch brought these guys out of Jefferson Township in West Dayton. And I was like, wow, that's done. Then later, another kind of group came out called Sun. Roger Troutman was with them and did Flick My Bick. And he was the person doing the vocal
that's right.
Flick My Bick. And his uh-huh. brother, Lester, played the drums. And I was like, wow, that's pretty good. Then Byron Bird and them came out with another hit and stuff like that. They had a different sound. And I was like, wow. Then when I talked to Byron Bird, and, you know, if you see our interviews on our YouTube channel, The Funk Center, Byron Bird said a lot of the people thought they were Spanish or Cubans or South American people because they got a lot of play down south. And that's where their big audience was, down south in Puerto Rico and stuff like that. So I was like, wow, that's interesting. But every group did not sound the same. They had a different kind of
sound. Lakeside was mm-hmm. a lot smoother on the vocals than mm-hmm. any of the other local groups,
right,
not
right.
taking anything away right. from them. But Mark A. Wood was dynamic.
Yes.
Thomas Shelby was a fascinating yes. falsetto singer.
Yes, yes.
But, you know, talk a little bit because, you know, in today's music,
mm-hmm.
you very seldom see any musicians actually playing the actual instruments.
Yeah.
And I want to take it a step further
okay.
because when you look at some of the best horn sections came out of Dayton.
Yeah.
When you talk about the Ohio Players,
mm-hmm.
a Son had a nice little horn
yes,
section
did.
As
yes,
well.
They had a five-piece horn section.
That's
Slave
right.
had a three. And, you know, Ohio Players actually had a four-piece horn section. But remember, Bruce Dapier left the group.
Okay, okay. Well, talk about the horns
yeah.
Back in the day, because that's what really made the music.
Yeah.
And I don't want to cheat the other groups because, you know, there's going to be a place in that Funk Center where we could talk about mm-hmm. Cameo in the mm-hmm. early days.
Oh, most definitely.
And also Can Function, mm-hmm. Cool in the Game,
yes.
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yes, yes.
But talk about what made music the way it was back there in the 70s and early 80s when it came to the woodwind section.
Yeah, you know, the horn section was big back then because it went from Brass Construction, you know, big groups like that. You know, you had Earth, Wind, and Fire, even Casey and the Sunshine Band. All the horn sections did their job. And one thing I liked about the Ohio Players and different other groups, even Phazo had a horn section at one time, but then they got defunct. They left. Mm-hmm. But the horns was the big thing. It was a 9-piece band or 10-piece band. Horns played the big part in the band. The way they screeched, just like Earth, Wind, and Fire, that da-na-na, da-na-na.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's just, it's just amazing, you know. But like the Funk Center, we like to get people back to the horn section, the original instruments, because when people sample stuff, it's not fun. Because I don't want to pay no $50-$60 to see a guy scratch a record and one guy's on there and that was it. I wanted to see a show. These guys were showmen. They wore the outfits. They talked. They didn't cuss nobody out. They was just perfect gentlemen on stage. Then, you know, it was a little. Some things was a little maybe kind of risque, but they were true performers.
You know, when I think of a number of the artists that comes to mind from all these groups we just mentioned, unfortunately, a number of the members in Slave are no longer with us.
Yes.
But you did have the opportunity in the past to talk to Steve Arrington. Now, Steve's not from Dayton,
no.
But Steve was an integral part of Slave at the height of their success.
Right, right.
Talk about Stevie Arrington and what he feels about the Funk
Center. Steve is originally from Chicago, Illinois, and he's brought here as a young man in Dayton on Residence Park. He went to, you know, Residence Park, Rolfe High School, different things. He was on that West Dayton, and he brought his flavor and flair. But he was the drummer after Tim Dozier left the group, and that's when Steve came to drummer. But you know, Steve he contacts me, we talk, and Steve's a great man. He's very supportive of the Funk Center. I mean, he's letting people know, because he's like, David, yeah, I'm gonna make them weak in the knees for you, brother. You know, so you know, Steve is a great, compassionate, good Christian man. Respect him and his wife Leslie, good people. I mean, they're just going out the way. Steve gave me one of his keyboards that he did some hits on, some lost hits. He donated his keyboard to there and donated a couple of things to the Funk Center, and you'll see that. Steve is a great man, and you know, I wish him well on his success, what he's doing, and I'm glad he supports us.
You know, David, I told this story before, but it renders me mentioning it again, because about that time, the height of the Dayton funk sound, if you will, was the period of time when I went down to Florida.
Yes.
You know, in college and played college
your
basketball.
Career basketball, man.
And, and to talk to a lot of my teammates, what was funny, they didn't believe that any of those groups that we have mentioned were from Dayton, Ohio. They give you one. It seemed like they give you one, and that was the Ohio Players. But when I told them that Slave, also Lakeside, and Sun, and Heatwave, the two singers were from Dayton, they did not believe me. And it took for Lakeside to be on Soul Train. When Don Cornelius came over and told him, he said, hey, you guys from Dayton, Ohio, all of it stopped. They believed me. So, I mean, I was like the king down there when it came to music, because they were playing all that music. Have you experienced something like that?
Oh, all the time. All the time. I remember I was up in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I was in Chicago back in the early 80s and stuff like that. And I was telling guys that they didn't believe me until they seen it on Don Kirshner's rock concert. They different show, American Bandstand, Soul Train, and they seen that, and they's like, oh wow, we didn't know. But Dayton's a small, medium-sized city. The great Marshall Jones, and I quote this, he said, God took his foot and stepped into the Miami Valley. The sweat off of God's feet rolled down, and it made something in the water. That's what made Dayton funky.
How about that? The late bassist,
yes,
Marshall Jones, who has made a number of appearances here on this campus of you know, Jazzy 88.9 WCSU in Central State. But had a chance to talk to him when Dr. Turk Logan was the general manager here at the radio station. You know, when I think of a lot of these groups, and, you know, we'll cover more outside of Dayton, because we don't want to forget about them as well.
It's important.
Important. As you alluded to, the Isley Brothers, Bootsy Collins. You know, I'm pretty sure
he's a big supporter. He's a big supporter of what we do, because he did the things. And, like, if you go to our Facebook page, The Funk Center, The Funk Center on Facebook page, you get a chance to see where Bootsy and different people who are on our Twitter who did support us. And see, a lot of people don't know, we have this rock funk too, the Red Hot Chili Peppers. We want to bring them in there. It's a lot of, even Devo was funk.
Yeah,
people forget about that.
That's some funk. Yeah, Devo worked with you know, Jermaine Jackson on a tune there that was pretty popular, Tickle My Fancy, if I'm not you know. For those who are listening and say, all right, well, you know, this Funk Center, really want to check it out. We know funk's there, but let's cover everything, because there's portions in there where it's going to be jazz, maybe it's some gospel. You know, kind of give us a rundown of some other genres of music when you come into the Funk Center.
You kind of hit it on the head right there. You know, and even the local guys, we're trying to get the local guys recognizing into some groups that didn't get a chance to make it. They were like the CD groups who didn't get a chance to get a record deal, but we still want to acknowledge him. And we're trying to get everything possible in the Funk Center. We were already outgrew it. So, you know, we're looking for other avenues and other buildings to be to expand more. But right now, we're going to start switching stuff off a little here and there. But we want you to come down and get that experience.
Now, you also have like a little shrine for WDAO, because WDAO was the first radio station, R&B radio station in Dayton. If I'm not I can go back 1964.
Yes.
And talk about what that setup is looking like when you go and
visit. When you go down that one of the alleys, you get the chance to see some of the radio stuff that we got from WDAO, different places, and we want to. We have some old WDAO hat with a headphone on it and stuff like it. It's plugged into the console, and you know, it gives you a little feel. We have records all over the place, old funk records in milk cases where back in the day you give it that feel, old record players, different things, just bringing you back. Eight-track tapes, cassette tapes, radio things, Pioneer things that did people sing. I mean, it's really, really nice. And, you know, again, we want to capture what we could. And a lot of people remember WDA, what it stand for. They thought it stood for White Days Were Over. So I explained to people, the W is for the east of the Mississippi. Day A is for Dayton, Ohio. You know, so people didn't know that. And, you know, so and I told them that, they started laughing. I said, well, people back then, that's what the people thought.
Yeah, that's what I heard in like 1974, 75, and how could that be?
But see, but we didn't know. But see, W is for east of the Mississippi.
That's right.
And then the other, I think K is the west of the Mississippi. Mm-hmm. So we got east of the Mississippi, Dayton, Ohio. That's what WDAO stands for.
See, we got a little lesson here on Miami Valley Speaks. Mm-hmm. President CEO David Webb, my guest today. You know, talk about all the different things when it comes to music. But several months ago when I had you on the show, you had a gentleman in here with you that was talking about the education aspect. Let's talk about that.
Robert Oynes. He's our professor, Dr. Robert Oynes. He's our education officer, and we're going to roll out a real nice education team for the young people and working with different schools. And I think we get them in, get the students in, let them know that you hear the rappers, but they're actually sampling these guys. Dayton is the most samplest groups. Am I saying that correctly? The most sampled groups in the world. And you can look from Zap and different people, Ohio Players, Steve Arrington, Slave, Fazo. I mean, these people are sampling these guys left and right. So, we're going to get awareness for that.
You know, I think it's important, you know, when we had that show to educate those who are not as cognizant of the funk genre, if you will. But I had to ask you because it had to start from somewhere. Mm-hmm. Where did it come from and the idea to say, you know what, we need to put together a program to teach? Talk about that part of, in the development stages.
Well, you know, one of the things is they take music education out of schools. And young people listening to rap, listening to this, listening to that, and they coming up with their own stuff, and they wasn't getting the instruments and singing like they used to in school. So we at the Funk Center, we wanted to come up with our concept in the education, and so we can implement this stuff to young people and explain to them how, I always tell people, we want to educate the public's knowledge in the history of funk music on the one. The genre of funk music collective of soul and rhythm geared for you young people so you understand the flight in the funk of Dayton and beyond.
You know, I was thinking, you know, many years ago, we all had influences, okay? And I really don't know what today's music, where the influences are, but I want to give you an example. Back in 2007, I had the opportunity to go to the Phrase and see Earth, Wind, and Fire perform. Yeah. And what was fascinating, not only was watching those guys on stage doing their thing, were how many 13, 14, 15-year-old white kids knew everything. Song from That's the Way of the World to Serpentine Fire. And that really impressed me. Now, when you fast forward now, where are those influences? Because, I mean, with the program, obviously, that would help those who are interested. For example, with my two daughters, my daughters grew up listening to that music. So they never really digressed away from it.
Right.
So, again, with these influences, that's the thing that's really troubling to me, particularly with the hip-hop era.
Yeah, well, one thing, let's go back to the American Music Awards just a couple of days ago. So, you know, it's not the same. It wasn't the same. You know, you had this, you had the rappers, you had that, and you had what happened to the Lionel Richies, the Commodores, the Jacksons, you know, Earth, Wind & Fire, different groups that played. And it wasn't the same. It didn't have that feel like it used to do. It was like more of a hip hop. More than anything, it didn't have the old thing, and even the country stars, it wasn't the same no more. To me, I think they should have a funk category, because you know, I have to get some of the old school people back, because they are still playing, they are still out there playing, and I really believe they need to bring these people back, so could you bring back that genre of music? That's my personal.
You know, a lot of these groups, of course, you know, they have changed up the lineup, you know, over the years when you. Look at the likes of the Four Tops mm-hmm. and the yes. Temptations, mm-hmm. The Delphonics. Yes. You know, if
the Whispers,
to
I love the Whispers.
Yeah, and the Whispers are still doing their mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm trying to figure out what happened, because there seems to be no format for them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, you could slide some of them in a jazz format. Mm-hmm. You could slide some of them in the pop, you know, category, mm-hmm. you know, and or AC. You know, you mm-hmm. got your Jeffrey Osbournes out there. And the Freddie Jacksons, and it just felt like it just totally dried up.
Yeah, yeah. Because remember back in the day, record companies were spending $60,000, $70,000 on a group, and they was doing something. Now, they spend $10,000, $15,000 on a group, you know, a record, and the guys make their thing, and they don't really have to do too much. So, you know, when I was in A&R, it ain't like it used to be, where we had the Trent Newell Singers, I'm going to make sure y'all taken care of, make sure y'all getting this, we're getting radio play, this and that. But after a while, stuff just dried up. Like you said, it ain't the same, because it seems like rap and hip hop took over the most of the music, and that's what's selling right now. So once that falls out and it gets back to the old school, watch what's going to happen. Because even like Bruno Mars is talking about funk and different things. Watch, funk is getting ready to happen now. Now we're in the age getting ready to get into funk music.
And a lot of those, you know, pioneer groups that we grew up on mm-hmm. are big fans of Bruno Mars. I remember talking to Chris Jasper mm-hmm. About him, and he seems to get a lot of love from the likes of the aforementioned Chris Jasper, mm-hmm. Charlie Wilson, and those guys. Yeah. They really love what he is doing, because he mm-hmm. is bringing some of that funk
bringing it back. Yeah. And let people know. And also, too, I think I heard a rumor, and I don't know if I'm correct, that Cameo and Bruno Mars are going to be doing something.
How about that? Wow. Sneak preview mm-hmm. right here mm-hmm. on Miami Valley Speaks. Yeah. President CEO David Webb, my guest today. You got the grand opening mm-hmm. celebration mm-hmm. that's coming up Friday, February 16th. Mm-hmm. Tell us all about that.
Oh, man, it's going to be great. A red carpet event. Like I tell people, they have to RSVP. It's a must. No one shows up because they have a list, because we got so many people coming in, and we want to make sure we control the situation and everything. We have one of the groups, Touch, is going to be performing mm-hmm. there. Yes. Defunct All-Stars, Darren Bell, and his group, and with Tony Allen. He's doing a great thing there, and those guys are going to really be doing a lot. And then we have a lot of artists coming in, stopping in. They want to say hi. And then also, too, a lot of radio personalities from across the country stop in and say hi, different from Cleveland and Max Mobile App. Donna B. and Alfred, they'll be coming in. They do a big internet show. And then we got Kent and Angelica from Cleveland's radio station. They'll be coming in, and yourself, and you know, other people from other radio stations. I mean, just to saying hi, man. This is really big for us. I mean, we're really happy. And what we're gonna do is, like, we have a good time, and they're gonna have a little party, some, you know, hors d'oeuvres, a little food, and then we'll keep it light and airy and have some fun. And then we're gonna be shuffling people back and forth to the Funk Center, to the library, so people get a chance to walk through and see. They can't stay to see, but just give them a sneak preview. Mm-hmm. Then come back tomorrow between 12 and 5 and really enjoy yourself.
Yeah, that's great. And again, that's gonna be Friday, February mm-hmm. the 16th from 6:30 to mm-hmm. 8 p.m., the mm-hmm. grand opening celebration of the Funk Center. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be the Dayton Metro Library, as you alluded to. You're going to go back to the Funk Center, you know, kind of trolley over there and then come back. And, of course, the Dayton Metro Library is 215 East 3rd Street. Now, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you impinged on the reservations that are a must. And I see these reservations are required by February the 12th.
Right.
And how can they do that? How can they reserve space?
Just email us info@thefunkcenter.org. That's info@thefunkcenter.org. And the team will send you out a confirm and put you on the list. And I mean, it's free. It's free, Trent. Mm-hmm. It's free. Mm-hmm. But we want you to come out, a red carpet event, you know, Dress for Success. And that's what's happening.
So you talking about a number of groups, Touch going to be performing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You have radio personalities coming in from all over. But talk about the overall support that you are getting. Because I understand that, you know, you had a cousin, actually, that's in Colorado, who I had on this show.
Yes.
That is doing her job to push it into Rocky Mountains.
Right, right. I have funk ambassadors in different cities or, you know, different areas that we use. We use strategize on big time on a lot of stuff. We want to make sure people get the word out. Now, Carla Elon Floyd is my human resource, our number two person. Also, she's one of my board of directors, president from our board, and she's a very talented woman, retired from Denver Water. I mean, she brings her human resource skills. I mean, it's tremendous, man. Our policies and procedures are on point. Like I said, I tell people, this organization is moving forward with excellence, and I'm really happy.
Talk about some of the other people that has kind of joined forces with you to make this Funk Center come into fruition.
It's so many people, and I don't want to throw out more names because I might forget somebody. Mm-hmm, but, mm-hmm. I mean, it's a lot of people. And I just want to thank. But one of the people I want to thank is the Dayton Metro Library, Jane Close. Jane Close and Tim Kavovich, who bend over backwards. When we first started, people used to, you know, criticize, and they're like, when are you going to get you a space? When are you going to do this? When are you going to do that? When are you going to do that? So we got an opportunity space at the Northwest Library. Mm-hmm. And from there, it just took off. And after we did our 6 months or 8 months run there, I was like, God, we need a building. And then the young man came to us with an idea, Scott Gibson of the Elway Group, and said, "Hey, Mr. Webb, I understand your vision and mission, and I want to do something with you." And so we went to the Fire Block District, and the rest is history.
You know, the one thing I wanted to talk about, because I talked about it briefly, mm-hmm. when I was talking about Earth, Wind, and Fire, mm-hmm. Being at the Phrase over 10 years ago.
Right.
But talk about, and you probably are not surprised, but how many white Americans are fans of the funk sound?
Oh, man, tremendous, tremendous, tremendous. It's just, you know, the white America, black America, Spanish America, Asian America, Indian America, I mean, everyone's just crazy about this. Since they heard it on NPR mm-hmm, News. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If you go to our Facebook page, you get a chance to see on NPR News. It went viral. People from across the country that used to live in Dayton left 40 years ago. They called us, told us they were so proud, and they popped their collar uh-huh. and walked around with this chest sticking out. And they said the funk is back in Dayton, because people, it's something to come back down to the city and see what's going on. And people was real happy about it.
That's wonderful. The grand opening, once again, the grand opening celebration of the Funk Center is going to be Friday, February 16th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. It's going to be at the Dayton Metro Library, 215 East 3rd Street. And as you mentioned, that they'll be going back and forth from the Funk Center, give little tours, mm-hmm. and then come back for the festivities. Mm-hmm. It's going to be, you know, some refreshments there.
Yes.
And you're going to have performances from a number of groups, including Touch.
Mm-hmm.
And we understand DJ Stan Mant
is
going to be pumping out the tunes, too. And again, give us that number one more time for the reservation before February the 12th.
Then you go to our email is info@thefunkcenter.org. That's info@thefunkcenter.org, or give us a call at 937-837-4441. Once again, 937-837-4441.
All right. President, CEO, David Webb, mm-hmm. Hey, thank you very much for being on Miami Valley Speaks.
Man, anytime. Thank you, Trent. Thanks, everybody.
The views expressed in this program are not necessarily of those of Central State University or WCSU-FM. If you have questions or comments about this program, please email us at WCSUFM@gmail.com, and we will forward to the program's producer. You have been listening to Miami Valley Speaks on the campus of Central State University, where we cover your interests, issues, and problems. Make sure you join us next week for another segment of Miami Valley Speaks. If you have any comments about the show, you can leave them at centralstate.edu.
Hi, I'm Mike Wade, and when I'm in the area, I always listen to Jazzy 88.9 WCSU. For the jazz in